Let me give you the title of this message first. It's called His Mercy to His Sons. God's Mercy to His Sons. And I'm reading a verse of Scripture taken from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 2. John said, "Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God." We are right now the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And then another passage over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, Paul writes, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we, are children of God." We are children of God. "And if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." Now, my message today will consist of five questions. I'm going to ask you five questions. They'll be very simple. They'll be to the point. And I pray that you'll listen as God gives you, as God is pleased to give you an interest and an understanding. Now, here's the first question. Listen carefully. What would it mean to you personally to know? What would it mean to you to know that every sin, every transgression against God's holy character, and sin is against God? David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. What would it mean to you to know that every sin, every transgression against God's holy character, His holy name, and His holy law was totally, completely forgiven? What would that mean to you? Now, every person listening to me is a sinner. That's right. There's a sinner preaching to you today. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. That's what God says. Isaiah said, "We all do fade as the leaf. Even our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight." And John said, "If any man says he has no sin, why, he deceives himself. And the truth's not in him." Whether he's a preacher or whatever he is. But if he says he has no sin, there's no truth in him. No honesty. And again he said, "If we say that we have not sinned, well, we make God a liar, because God said all have sinned, and His word's not in us." My friends, going back to the beginning of this thing, we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin, brought forth speaking lies, and we go astray from the womb. And God has declared your sins have separated you and your God. Now, God said that. Your sins have separated you and your God. And Christ our Lord said, if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. And the apostle said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, I said this last week. This sin business is not just outward acts. Most people have sin confined to outward acts. They think because they don't drink or gamble or commit adultery or do these things, lie, cheat, steal outwardly, that they're without sin. Sin is an inward principle. Sin is a nature. It's an attitude. And these outward acts are but fruits of the corrupt tree. You do what you are because of who you are. Adam was the only man who ever became a sinner by sinning. You sin because you're a sinner. It's in you. And it comes out every once in a while, doesn't it? Comes out pretty regularly, doesn't it? What would it mean to you to know that every sin of thought, word, or deed, every sin of omission or commission, every sin of the past, present, and future, every sin was blotted out, cast into the depths of the sea, put away to be remembered no more? You say, "Preacher, I'm telling you, you're talking about heaven on earth. Yes? Well, this is the mercy of God to his sons. This is the mercy of God to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. And he said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hebrews 9:26 says, he put away sin, put it away, by the sacrifice of himself. Listen to Hebrews 10:14. By one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he says in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is the mercy of God to his sons. That's what I'm talking about. His mercy to his sons. He that believeth on Christ hath everlasting life. He hath already passed from death to life. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Don't deny your sins. Confess your Redeemer. Don't deny your need and your sickness. Look to the remedy. It's foolishness to try to find acceptance with God by denying what you know and what God knows is so. Don't deny the disease. Look to the remedy. Look to Christ. Or here's the second question. What would it mean to you personally, to know that the holy, eternal, living God, I'm not talking about the peanut God that I hear preached in this day, who's frustrated and confused and defeated and got about equal power with the devil. They kind of offset one another, and I make whatever plan I want to work. But the holy, eternal, majestic, sovereign, living God, how would you like to know, what would it mean to you to know that that God who rules heaven and earth is totally reconciled to you? You have peace with God. Now listen to me. Will you listen? I know this is contrary to what most people are saying, but the scriptures declare, listen to me, that God is angry with the wicked. Chapter and verse, Psalm 7:11, God's angry with the wicked every day. David said, Psalm 5:5, God hateth all workers of iniquity. John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. You want some demonstrations of God's wrath? How about Adam's fall? God cast him out of the garden. How about the flood that destroyed the world? How about the death of the firstborn in Egypt? Tell Pharaoh that God has no wrath. How about the drowning of Pharaoh's army? You want a demonstration of God's wrath? How about the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 AD, when everything was destroyed and the people slain and the ground plowed up by Titus? And a greater demonstration of God's wrath is on its way. That's what the Word said. The New Testament, the book of Revelation, the book of Peter. Almighty God, he says, will destroy heaven and earth, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The day of his vengeance cometh. How would you like to know that God, that God, is not angry with you? To know that he's at peace with you, that he has mercy upon you, that has to be the greatest thing that a man can know, the greatest blessing he can enjoy. Well, this is the peace that passeth understanding, the peace that's in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Now, I've heard people say, well, I won't make my peace with God. You didn't make it. It's in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not through the decisions we made and the religion that we profess and the good deeds that we do. This peace with God was made by the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 says, reconciling the world unto himself. Now listen, if God wasn't angry, why'd Christ have to reconcile us? You don't reconcile friends. You don't reconcile people in love. You reconcile people who are at variance, who are divided. And Christ reconciled us to God because God was angry. And this peace is in Christ. Colossians 1:20. Listen. And having made peace by the blood of his cross, by Christ he reconciled all things to himself. Christ said to his disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace with God. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But in me you have peace. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You're not going to find peace in positive thinking. Not a lasting peace. You're not going to find peace by getting busy. You'll find peace by resting in Christ and looking to him. And this is the mercy of peace that God gives to his Son. That's what I'm talking about today. His mercy to his sons, peace. Peace with God. Sons of God. God's not angry with his sons. He's angry with his enemies. Then the third question, what would it mean to you? Listen to this one. What would it mean to you to have a new nature? A nature inclined to holiness. Inclined to righteousness. A nature and a heart which really loves God. Didn't just profess to, but does. And hates sin. A nature and a heart which delights in the things of God. Not because you have to, but you really delight in them. And you enjoy his presence and his people and his promises and his word. Of course, we have an old nature. No one with good sense will deny that. Called the old man. Been around as long as you have. It's a nature of flesh. Yeah, you have a nature of flesh. You are flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In the flesh no man can please God. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You are flesh. And you have a nature of flesh. And it loves darkness and it hates light. It's a nature that knows anger. Yes, it is. It knows lust, it knows hatred, it knows envy, it's well acquainted with it, jealousy, and all these unfruitful works of darkness. Your old, sinful, wicked flesh, nature, old man knows all about those things, and there's still rumblings, and there's still the presence of those things, and you contend with them, if you're honest, quite frequently. But in regeneration, in what the Bible calls a new birth, the sons of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are made partakers of a new nature called the new man. The new man created in Christ Jesus. A divine nature that really loves God. Just like that old nature loves darkness, this new nature loves light. Just like that old nature loves the world, this new nature loves God. Truly loves God's people, doesn't profess to, actually does. Really does. This new nature truly delights in the things of God. Really, really. There are people that go to church not because they have to, because they want to. Like David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Yeah, I go 7 days a week. Why? Love it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd rather be a janitor in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked as the king. He says in Colossians 3:10, we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. And 1 John 5:4 says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Prayer is not a duty for that new nature. It's a delight. You know why prayer is such a drudgery for most people? The old flesh does not love prayer. It just doesn't. And you can't make it. You can try to reward it or threaten it or beat it or coerce it, but you can't make it love it. But the new nature, to the new nature, prayer is not a duty. Worship's not a duty. It's a joy. Love is not a duty. It's a fruit of grace. I delight to do thy will, O God. Our Lord said, take my burden, my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. Who ever heard of a yoke being easy? You ever see them put yoke on a team of oxen? The oxen don't like it, do they? It's not their nature to like it. But the yoke of Christ is easy. And the burden of Christ is light. And his commandments are not duties. They are delight. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I find another law warring. That old nature. You'll have a conflict with it till you pack your bags and leave here. But that new nature loves God. Loves the people of God. Loves the Word of God. Loves the presence of God. Loves the promises of God. And does not find worship and praise just a responsibility or a duty. And he's not trying to work his way to heaven. And he's not trying to get a reward in heaven by doing certain things prescribed by a preacher down here. But he delights to do them. You know the reason most religious people have to be required to what they call tithe and to keep a Sabbath day and to read their daily Bible readings and have all these assignments? You know why they have to be forced to do those things? Just like rebellious children in a home. But I'll tell you, when you get a new nature, a nature conformed to the image of Christ, a nature created in Christ Jesus after the image of him who created him, you love the Word of God. You love the commandments of Christ. You love the law of God. You love the house of God. Love it. What would that mean? Well, these are mercies to God's people. Now listen to this. This is important to all of you. What would it mean to you to know that every trial, we've had some severe ones, haven't we? Every trouble, every sorrow in this life, everything that happens to you, good and bad, successful and failures, everything that happens is ordained by your heavenly Father and would result in your good and his glory. What would that mean to you? Now, in this world, you have tribulation. You know that. Everybody who hasn't wept will. Everybody who hasn't suffered will. Everybody who hasn't known real sorrow will. It's given unto you not only to believe on him, but to suffer. And they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. In this world you shall have tribulation. You see, those are all scriptures that come from the Word of God. The man who promises you health and wealth and prosperity and 2 cars in every garage and all these things doesn't know one thing about the grace of God or his dealings with his children. Actually, the Lord said, if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. He chastens whom he loves. That's right. Every child of God. And listen to me, one of Paul's dearest friends was so sick he couldn't come to him one time to visit him. And he left one of them at a certain place sick. Why didn't Paul heal him? God heals whom he will, when he will. And then, yet according to the Scripture, there's no trouble and no trial that can befall a believer. No trouble or trial or sorrow that is not purposed and ordained of God for your good and his glory. Romans 8:28, listen. And we know that all things in heaven and earth, all things, past, present, and future, all things Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all things, angels or men, all things, even demons and devils, all things, sickness and health, all things, prosperity or poverty, all things, life or death, all things, sickness or health, all things work together for good, for the eternal good of them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Our God's a God of purpose. He doeth all things well. He said, if you know how to give good things to your children, don't you know the Heavenly Father will give good things to His children? If your son asks a bread, do you give him a stone? If he asks fish, do you give him a serpent? Well, neither would God. But God's good things come sometimes disguised. He moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. But it's all for your good, your eternal good. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. And again, he called himself, when he was sitting down there in prison, called himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Let no man glory in men. All things are yours. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. God created this world for His elect. That's right. Everything that has happened from the time He laid the first foundation stone till the time that He will create a new heaven and new earth is for His Son and the joint heirs with His Son. All things are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God. Now here's the last question. And please remember that if you're looking for a smooth velvet road without any toil or trouble or trial or suffering or sorrow, you won't find it in the faith of Christ Jesus. Because, beloved, count it not strange when fiery trials come upon you. God's going to try faith. And faith untried is not faith at all. It's presumption. Now, here's the last question. What would it mean to you to know that old age, some of us are getting older, and even death would only serve your good and your gain? That death itself, what we call death, actually, he that believeth on Christ shall never die. He may sleep, but he'll never die. He'll just leave this tabernacle or tent and go to be with the Lord. But even what we call death will only be the means of ushering you into a life of glory and peace forever in the presence of the Lord. That's what Paul said, for me to live is, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what he said, gain. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 8:18, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the son of Jesse, King of Israel, lay dying, and these were his last words, the last words of David, man after God's own heart. He said, although it be not so with my house. And David was a man who had great victories, but he had great sorrow and suffering. David knew something about tears, and something about wayward children. He knew something about these things. And he said, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Now, several months ago, I told you about a series of books that were being published in England called Bible Class Commentaries. Commentaries on the epistles of the New Testament, which I have written for our Bible classes at 13th Street. For years, I've looked for good Sunday school literature. I've looked for a commentary on the scriptures that the plain person could read in plain, simple, everyday language in English that the ordinary person could pick up and read, Bible class commentaries. Well, I didn't find them, so I began to write them. I took the best commentaries and I read all 21 epistles in the New Testament, and verse by verse, word by word, I wrote these Bible class commentaries. They were printed over a period of a year. There's six of them. I have six Bible class commentaries here. And I'll tell you what they are. They start with the book of Romans, and they go verse by verse. The first verse, the second verse, the third verse, all the way through the book of Jude. All the way through. Every verse from Romans 1 to the last verse in the book of Jude. And every verse is dealt with simply and scripturally and plainly and briefly so that the ordinary person can read it. And they're being printed in England, and we're making them available here. And the set of six, if you'd like to have it, you write to me. It'll cost $10. That's what it cost us to buy them and mail them to you. I've been selling them for $1.50 a piece, but we cannot sell the set for $1.50 a piece. It has to be $10 to supply the postage and all. So if you have some of them, would like to have just one book, send $1.50 and I'll mail it to you. But if you want the whole set, volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, every verse, plainly, simply written, write to me. If you want to give them as gifts, right, we'll send you as many sets as you'd like. Ask for the entire set for $10 or one book if you want to complete the set you already started. And also order this tape, this message I preached today and last week, His Mercy to His Sons. You write, send $2, we'll mail you that tape. So send $2 for the tape. If you want the set of books, they cost $10. You have as many sets as you want. And so next week at the same time, God bless you, everyone.